And so we're going to talk about this a little bit tonight, amen? So we're going to find out who we are. Finally. Now we're getting somewhere. We're going to find out who we are.
Thank you.
Amen? Well, I got 20 minutes. Oh, Lord. We've all seen miracles happen. We got to get to the chicken house before the other church down the street, so we got to hurry up here, eh? Well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 to 24. And it says, and from the Amplified, it says, that regarding your previous way of life, put off your old self, completely discard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, Godlike, in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. You see, the way that we live our lives is supposed to be a response to what Jesus did for me and you. Amen? My goodness. All right, let's... You see, the way that Jesus died on the cross, and the way that he took away our sin and our sickness, and the way that he went to hell and kicked Satan's butt, and then ascended on high to seated at the right hand of the Father, ladies and gentlemen, well, then because he did all of that, and because of who he is, well, we have made righteousness once we become born again, amen? Now, Scripture puts a lot of emphasis on this. You go throughout Scripture in the New Testament, and even in the Old Testament, it makes reference to what Jesus was going to do, and in the New Testament, it says what he's done. And we're living in the benefits of what was completed. Amen? And so, like I said, it's all throughout Scripture, you see a lot of this. Now, a lot of people, they kind of wonder, well, you know, who am I really? They look at themselves, and they say, well, yeah, I know who I am. My name is Steve Huzzy. I work here at Faith City Church. I'm married to Kendra. My parents are Craig and Glenn Huzzy. I'm Ben, Abby, and Timmy's dad. You know, what else can I tell you about me? I like snow sometimes. Don't like the minus 40, though. I like my snow machines in the wintertime. I like going fishing in the summertime. Love hunting. Amen? Yeah, I'm a Newfoundlander. I'm a Newfoundlander, born and bred. I'll be one till I die. That's a Newfie song. And, yeah, I'm from Newfoundland. I was born in Newfoundland, raised in a little town called Port de Grave, a little fishing village. I used to be a commercial fisherman is what I used to do. What else? I love the outdoors. Anything that's outdoors, I absolutely love doing. Like, yeah, I love snowmobiling. I really do. I really enjoy my sleds. And what else? I'm trying to think what else I can tell you about me. Who am I? I work here at church. I'm a youth pastor. Married to Kendra. That's very important, you know. I have a dog. I love dogs. Love animals. Amen. And you know, I'm trying to think what else I do. I'm a hockey coach. That's important too. I coach hockey. How can I forget that? That's important. I coach hockey. I'm something. I don't know if we'll go handyman, but I'm something. And here we go. I like to drink decaf green tea. My shoe size is size 12. I love music. I love campfires in the summertime as well. My favorite potato chip is Lay's Lightly Salted. I love them, okay? And what else? Favorite food? I like seafood a lot. I like fish and that type of stuff. So that's kind of me. Now, people will look at that, and they'll look at themselves and say, well, that's who I am. Well, in one manner, yeah, that is your physical self, in a sense, that's attributes. But the way that God sees me is who I really am. And the way that God designed me is who I really am. You see, a human being is made up of three parts. Are you listening to me? Well, we live in a body. It's this earth suit. We have a soul, which is our intellectual thinking realm, our processing. But the real us is our spirit. And that is what is connected up to God. Now, the thing is that we have to have all three working together. Because when you take a natural and a supernatural source or thing or unit and you match, put it together, you create an explosive force for God. So you take your spirit man and you get it on board with your thinking and your intellect. And then you can manifest that through your body. You're going to do some awesome things for Christ. Amen? You see, in here, there's a bunch of powerhouses walking around in here. You see, we have to start those suckers up a little bit. Amen? We have to know who we are in Christ so that we can operate the way that God had intended for me and you to operate. You know that you have healing powers in your hands and in your body. It's flowing through you. Scripture says that they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen? You know that you have prosperity flowing through you as well? That belongs to you. That's who you are. Amen? As Pastor was saying, you know what? We are to give. You know why? Because we are blessed to be givers. Are you listening to me in this place? You see, God has all these things for us. We just have to tap into it. You know? We're our own worst enemy when it comes to this, because we cut ourselves short all the time. We tend to shut things down that God has for us. Hey? Well, let's keep going here. Anybody getting anything out of this? You see, our identity changed once we became born again. The very moment we accept Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, well, there's a complete change on who we are. Now, sometimes it takes a little while for us to realize the change that's taken place in our lives, but it's there. Now, when a baby is born, they're a human being, but they're not a fully developed human now, are they? You know, I've had three little people thus far, me and my wife, and they're growing and they are developing, you know. When they were born, they did not know how to, you know, talk, walk, make food. You know, they couldn't. What did they do? Cry, eat, sleep, and poop. That's all they did, you know. Some people, that's all they still tend to do. But anyway, you know, they'll get there. They'll get there. But you see, we have to develop because we have to know who we are in Christ. Amen. All right. Well, Romans 3:22 in the New Living Translation said, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are. So you know that anybody who believes in Jesus is made righteous. Your neighbor down the street that gets under your skin, if they accepted Jesus, they're made righteous. Your boss at work, the one that you really don't like, yeah, that person, if they accept Jesus, well, they are made righteous, if you like it or not. That's the way it goes.
That's right.
Amen? This is the way it works. It's open to everybody. Anybody on the other side of the world, wherever they go, amen, we got some missionaries that like to travel. Wherever you go, you encounter people. But it doesn't matter where they are in the world, they are the righteousness of God in Christ. If they love Jesus, amen?
Yeah.
That's right. You know? You see, this is our identity. It applies to everybody. All right, well, let's start looking at some of these things here. So what does our new identity look like? Well, I'm glad you asked the question, because I'm just so excited, I can't wait to tell you, all right? Well, first of all, turn to Romans 3:24. Romans 3:24 in the New Living Translation. Miss Stephanie, I'm going to be using the New Living Translation from now on, so when I call it a scripture, NLT. We are justified, declared righteous. This is kind of our first glimpse of who we are. Here we go. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Scripture tells us right there, we are righteous. What does righteousness mean, ladies and gentlemen? Right standing with God. And when you're in right standing with somebody, what does that mean? Come on, Bible school students, I know you're out there. You can come boldly, okay, but what does right standing with God mean? Right standing with God. When you're in right standing with somebody, what does that mean? This starts sounding like Bible school. You do something. Oh, inside joke there. No, when you're right standing with God, well then, you are made right. Things are good between you two. It's the way that it was meant to be. You're brought back on to the way it was meant. Amen? So when you're in right standing with God, you're in the good books. Everything is good. Your relationship is open and it's healthy and it's the way it was designed to be. So if we are the righteous, put that scripture verse back up there, Miss Stephanie. If we were made righteous, here we go. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of sin. The first part of our identity is we are the righteousness of God in Christ and that we are free from sin. Now don't shout me down because I'm preaching good here tonight. Come on now. We have been free. Now think about all the things that you've done in your life. Think about how many times you've messed up. Think about how, you know, in your past and when you were doing things that you shouldn't have been doing. Amen? Some of you, well, shocking. You know, a bunch of dirty sinners. My goodness. But you know what? The Lord don't see that anymore. Because if you ask for forgiveness, well, then guess what? He gave it to you. Old things have what? Passed away. Isn't it good to know that all those things you did in the past is not there anymore? Woo! Praise God. All right, well, here we go. Second one I want to talk to you about is no condemnation awaits us. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 8:1. New Living Translation. Romans 8:1. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Anyone ever felt condemned before? You ever felt down? Kind of, you're not worthy, not good? Just kind of, blech. It's not a good feeling now, is it? By a raise of hands, let's be honest, because we're in church, we're all family. How many of you felt that way? But guess what? We don't have to feel that. Because we, remember what I just said? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, the things that we think that is condemning upon us, well, it's already been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he took all that yucky away from me and you. And it is gone now. You can actually go before the throne and you can plead not guilty, and it's true. It is true. You are not guilty of that. It is gone. Jesus already paid the price. You've already been set free. You've already been delivered. Amen? You no longer have to feel that way. God doesn't see us as condemned for what we did in our past. God sees us as a new creature, as a loved one, as someone that is free, holy, righteous, created in His image, the way that He intended us to be. Amen? Slap your neighbor and tell him to wake up, man. This is good. Come on. Here you go. You got to be good when the preacher tells you to slap your neighbor. You got to be able to do it. The old things have passed away. Next one. We have been set free from sin. Romans 8:2. Let's look at that real quick. Romans 8:2. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Now, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and you. Now, if you actually search out Scripture and look into this, the greatest thing that God ever did was when He brought Jesus back. That was great, because He overcame the greatest foe, which was death. And when you overcome the grave, there's not much more you can overcome that's any greater than death. Because, see, Satan thought that death was the end game. Satan thought, oh, good, I got Jesus. It is done. He is dead. Well, guess what? And then God goes, uh-uh. Watch this. Okay? Hold my coffee and watch. And you know what? This is what happened here. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit, that same power that raised Christ from the dead, has freed you from the power of sin. So when the doors blew off of Satan, or blew off of hell, and Satan got his butt kicked, come on now, that same power that destroyed those forces of darkness that day when Jesus done some serious work down there, come on now. Well, that same power is what freed you from sin. It's the same power that took you up out of the muck and the mire and completely changed you. Amen? Amen? That's good preaching, Steve. I know it is. That's why I'm doing it. All right. You can't touch this. It's right. We have been set free from sin and spiritual death. I would not want to spend eternity in hell. I don't like heat that much. When it gets above 30 degrees, I'm uncomfortable. You know? You just can't do much. Now, when it gets down below minus 30, I'm very uncomfortable as well. Okay? This last little while, I've been uncomfortable. Anyone else been uncomfortable? You know? But here's the thing. I'm thankful that I don't have to have extra fire insurance because I know that I have Jesus. Amen? That's all I need. Amen? Because I know my sins have been taken care of. It's already been gone. I've been set free. It no longer belongs to me anymore. Now, here's the thing. Even if you go out and you still mess up and you still make mistakes and you still have sin, because I'm sure today, some of us in this room, we haven't been perfect. Amen? I'm sure this week we've all done something that we probably shouldn't have done. We said something we shouldn't have done, thought something we shouldn't have done. Bunch of dirty sinners again. My goodness. No, we are not. Because we can run to the Father. We can ask for forgiveness. And you know what? We got it. We got it. Amen? It belongs to us because that's a part of our identity. We have been set free. Amen? Here we go. Let's keep going here. Are you enjoying this? All right. Number four. We are sanctified, made holy in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Now, in all reality, I do have like 24 points of this. We're not going to get through it tonight. We're going to turn this into a mini-series. Come in on Netflix next year, okay? So, here we go. We are sanctified, made holy in Jesus Christ. I feel like Pastor Rick. Pastor Rick has like 42 points in every message. It's awesome. Here we go. I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be His own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as He did for all people everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. To you who have been called by God to be His own holy people. Now, in Bible school, we've talked about this with the Bible school students. I've talked about it with the teenagers, and I probably even touched on it a few times when I've spoken here in church. But our holiness, now, it's got this notation about it that when people think about it, you know, he's going around with like a white robe on and, you know, it's all, you know, pure, holy, bright light shining on him. You walk into a room and it's just like, you know, everything is just so whatever, you know? Well, a holy life, you know, I don't see too many robes going around in here, you know? But, you know, a holy life is based upon your reaction to what Jesus did. Now, we have to strive for a holy life. Now, that means that we change the way that we used to do things. That means we change the way we walk. We change the way we talk. We might have to change some of our friends sometimes. Because what's influencing you? The places you're going. Amen? Pastor Dave, praise God. Pray for him. Okay? Yeah. We might have to change it up a little bit. Because let me tell you something. Not everybody is there to bless you. Not everywhere you go is going to be a good, healthy place for you to go. You know? The chicken house is not healthy for you to go. Sorry. Sorry. You know? You wonder why you're putting on the weight and cholesterol through the roof? It's not because you're eating bananas. Okay? It's not because you're sitting down with a big bowl of grapes at night. It's because you're sitting down with a 24-piece bucket of KFC finger-licking good chicken. Jesus. Where's Ernie at? That man's arteries are so clogged, they look like the 401 on rush hour. No, no. We don't speak death. Long life and long health. Just take it easy on the chicken, Ernie. I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for you. Have it grilled. Grill. And have a salad, not extra gravy. Okay. Amen? Okay, maybe a little bit of gravy. You can't have chicken without gravy. All right. So, we're talking about holiness and we get off on chicken. Well, my goodness, what type of church is this? What are we doing? All right. A holy life is a life that is a reflection of what the Lord did for me and you in our lives. A response to our new identity in Jesus. And that's a part of our identity. We have to strive to do that. We have to work at doing that. It's not always easy to do the right thing. It sometimes is a lot easier to tell a lie than it is to tell the truth. Amen? Now, Bible school students, remember we had that little 8-week course we did called Honor? You know, you second-year students? You know, we were talking about situational ethics in there. You know, you do it right unless, you know, only until it's comfortable for you, and then when it gets uncomfortable, then, you know, forget about it. You know, you do whatever's comfortable. But you see, that's not true honor. Honor is when you're respecting and you're valuing and you're loving no matter what. No matter what. When it's uncomfortable for you. When it's uncomfortable for you to do the right thing, my newfie's showing, thank you. If it's comfortable for you to do the right thing, you know, but as soon as it gets uncomfortable and you're like, I don't like doing this, you know, suck it up, buttercup, because God's watching you. Because your identity in Christ is based upon that. About who you are. What type of person are you? Who are you when nobody else is around? Because God's still watching. That's right. So is Google. All right, so some of you will get that later. We are pure and holy in Christ as well. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God sees us as if we've never messed up. God sees us as pure and holy. God sees you as beautiful and perfect. Amen? God sees you so awesome. You know, you might look in the mirror and be like, oh! God looks at you and says, well, you know, you're pretty awesome. You know? God says, yeah, I made you. You're mine. Amen? You are my creature, my child. I love you. You are who I say you are. And if God says I'm blessed, well, guess what? I'm blessed. If the Word of God says I'm healed, what?
I'm healed.
That's right. If the Word of God says I'm good looking, keep confessing that. Amen. 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 Here's another one. I really like this one. It says 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are a new person. Well, what do you mean we're a new person? Well, I'm glad you asked that as well. It's this. Well, let's look at the scripture verse. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. How many of you love Jesus? How many of you have a relationship, a personal relationship? 5 people in this church. Come on, how many people in this place got a relationship with God? Come on. Here we go. Yeah, I see 2 hands on some people. You got 2 relationships. All right, 1 for each personality, praise God. No. That's good. Make sure everything's covered. Well, you see, we have that relationship with God. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. You know? Well, every now and then, we just celebrated this weekend, a very important weekend for Teen Challenge. And, you know, got to take part in a big event that they have, the Sled for Eternity. Well, that's all in support of people who actually get a new life. You know, I think it's awesome to see that group of young men that were here. Now we're soon going to have young ladies as well. Yeah. You know, I'm excited for that. And like Pastor said, here on these grounds, on this campus, we're going to have a center as well. Amen. And we're going to see lives change and transform through that program. Amen. And it's never too late or never too early to start sowing into that. Amen. Because it's going to cost money to get that. But we're going to see lives change and transform. And you know what? That's going to cause a new life to take place in Jesus Christ. Because these people, these young men that were here, if you knew what some of their stories were, it would shock you. But guess what? God's already got that taken care of. It's done. They've been set free, delivered, made whole. Amen. So when they come, we got something to celebrate about. Amen. The prodigals come home. Amen. Now, some of you, you might have some prodigals in your life. Well, guess what? They're coming home. You stand firm. There's nothing more powerful, I believe, than a praying mama. I guarantee it. The only reason I'm standing here before you today is because I got a praying mama. And I also got a praying grandmama. And I mean, my goodness. I know. I've kept them awake at night when I was younger. Because I've done some stupid stuff. I'm going to tell you right now, I did some stupid stuff. But praise God, you don't need to know better because I've been forgotten anyway. It's my get out of jail card right there. It's all under the blood. Amen? But you know, I remember my mama praying for me. And my grandma, and she still prays for me. Doesn't matter how big and ugly I get, my grandmother, or she'll always be praying for me. I guarantee. I talk to her just about every day. And she asks me how my day is going. She tells me she loves me all the time, and I love her. Talk to my mama and talk to my dad. You know, I'm thankful for my Christian heritage. Even though I might have been hell on wheels for a little while there, going through some stuff. But hallelujah. My mama was praying. My grandma was praying. I had my family praying for me. And hallelujah, I'm here today because of that, by the grace of God. And so I'm going to tell you right now, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're going to be brought back onto God. If you're facing something in your life right now, if you've got family members or even you, you're struggling with something right now, come on home. Come on home. Because you can run safe back into the Father's arms. Amen. That's a part of our identity. That's who we are in Christ. We got safety in that. We belong. We got the DNA of Jesus flowing through us. We belong to Him. It belongs to us. That righteousness, that holy living, that blessing, that prosperity, it belongs to me and you. Oh, you're one of those prosperity guys. Well, as a matter of fact, I am. Because I'm going to tell you something. Can I get real with y'all here? When we moved to Thunder Bay, me and my wife, we had $1,200 sitting on our bank account. That was supposed to sustain us. You had $1,200. What's that supposed to do? You know, back when I was younger, $1,200 was a good weekend. What are y'all laughing at? You know it's true. You know? Some of y'all, that will only get you about 5 hours down at the casino. You know? At least I'd get a weekend out of it. And when me and my wife moved here, everything we had fit into a 26-foot Penske truck, and we had our car on a hauler, on a dolly behind, and that Penske truck was only about a quarter full of stuff that we had inherited from our they're actually pastors now in Northern Ireland. They got three campuses, Kendra? Three campuses. And they came over, and anyway, they blessed us. When they were moving back to Ireland, they said, here, we want you to take what we got, so we got a bunch of furniture and stuff from them. But that's all we had. But praise God, I stand before you today, and I'm going to tell you what. We got a joke around our boardroom table, but I'm going to tell you something. We ain't hurting. Because God is supplying all my needs. You know what? The church is not my source. Man is not my source, but God is my source. So when you're out there cursing the snowflakes, I'm praising God for it. If you want to blame someone for all this snow, it's me. Amen? And I know we got a lot of sled heads out here too. Isn't that right, Ms. Deb? Hey? And so, where's Brother Corey at? He's here floating around here somewhere. All you other sled necks around here. We like our snow machines, praise Jesus. You know? We live in the north anyway. Toughen up. You might be out there and I'm all, hallelujah, it's raining snow. it's money from heaven. Look at the snow falling, you know? No, praise God. Because God supplies. And the way that He does it might not necessarily be the way that you expect Him to do it. Now, listen, teenagers, I'm going to tell you something. Your lives right now is not going to be the same tomorrow. It's not going to be the same the next week. You guys are learning, you're growing, and you're developing. You know, all these people here, They've all gone through some crazy stuff too, I guarantee it. And we're not going to tell you because we don't want you doing it. You know? But let me tell you something. Just put that scripture verse back up there again, Miss Steph. I want you guys to look at this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. So the moment that you all became into Christ, you became a new person. You know? And so your lives right now, and I'm so thankful that you guys are sold out for God. Because you guys are powerhouses for Jesus Christ. And you're going to do mighty things that we will never, ever be able to do. Because you guys are going to go further. You guys are the giant slayers. Amen? You guys are going to do some awesome stuff. And I say this to all of our youth and to all of our young people. Because they are going to do it. They will do it. And you know what our job is? I'm still with these guys. I'm still 19. All you old fogies, you know what? Oh. You know what? We're going to do this together. We're going to build these guys up. We're going to give them what they need. We're going to build centers that's going to help support these kids. Amen? We're going to build programs that's going to help support these kids. Because here we go. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. We're going to grow the new life. We're going to increase the new life. We're going to make the new life flourish. Amen? This church is going to be full. And it's going to happen a lot sooner than later. Because I'm challenging everybody in this place right now. And I'm putting the challenge out tonight, is that we are going to have to fill this place. And it's not up to myself, Pastor, or Pastor Ken to do it by ourselves. But it's up to this family that's here before us, that we need to bring our neighbors, bring our friends, invite people. Amen? And this is the way you do it. You need to invite people. You want to grow the church? You know? Well, yeah, we've had a few babies in here. That's a good way to grow the church as well. Amen? But we're going to get some people in here. We're going to see some doctors, some lawyers in this place, amen? We're going to see business professionals. We're going to see some young families come into this place, amen? People from all walks of life, from all parts of the world are going to come in this place. When you come in here, it's going to look like the United Nations. Amen? Nothing blesses me more when you come into a congregation and you see every type of person, every skin color, you know, different languages all coming and praising God. I get excited about that. Amen? This is what we're going to see. I believe it. Do you? Well, then here's the challenge. Is invite somebody. Bring somebody. You do more than invite. Hey, want to go for lunch on Sunday? Yeah, sure. Okay, good. I'm going to pick you up for church at 10. And then after church, we're going to go for lunch. Captive audience. And you know what the beauty of it is? You don't even have to worry about preaching to them. Leave that up to the pastoral staff. You know? And that's the way it works. Amen? Amen. This is good. This is good. And I'll give you one more. How does that sound? I'll give you one more, and then we'll shut her down, because we can go all night doing this. But we got to get Ernie. Looks like he's drooling there. Looks like he's sniffing chicken again or something. I don't know. But here we go. Ephesians 2:10. Turn over there to Ephesians 2:10. Because if you really want to know who you are, I find this one really well sums it up on who we are. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He planned for us long ago. You're not a mistake. You're not a screw up. You're not dumb. You're not an accident. Amen? You are God's masterpiece. You know what they do with masterpieces? They put them in a place of honor and respect. When you go into the Louvre over, where is it, Paris, right? Well, they got this painting of the Mona Lisa. Well, that's supposed to be considered a masterpiece. Sure. Okay? A woman. You know, I don't know. But that's considered a masterpiece. And literally, hundreds of thousands of people every year flock to go see this artwork, this masterpiece. Well, you know what? We were created by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The person that designed the universe. The God that actually created this planet that we're living on right now. Amen? And so we were created by Him. We are His masterpiece. So how much better are we than some painting hung on a wall somewhere? Amen? So you don't need to think, oh, I'm worthless, I'm garbage, I'm not worth nothing. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Woo! That should get you shouting right there. Everyone stand on your feet. Keep the scripture verse up here. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You know that God had a plan for you even before you were born? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. How many of you were around when Jeremiah was on the planet? Some of you, I see. No, definitely not. You see, and even before. Now, look at this. You back it up and go back to Genesis. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image. You know who he was talking to back then in the book of Genesis? He was talking to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus, saying, you know what? We're going to make something cool. We're going to call him man, human. And he's going to be my prized possession. He's going to be my masterpiece. They're going to be my children. I'm going to love them. I'm going to be their father. We're going to have the greatest relationship, and I'm going to bless their socks off. Amen? I'm going to make sure that they are taken care of. They're going to have every spiritual blessing, anything that they'll ever need. I'll make sure that I will have them to have access to that. It belongs to us. We are the masterpiece. Bow your heads, close your eyes. You might be in this place, you might think, well, Pastor Steve, you know what, my identity, I'm not sure. I've done so much stuff in the past, I'm struggling with stuff in my life right now. You know what, guys, I'm going to tell you something, forget about it. Because the enemy's only going to try and mess with your head. And he's going to twist those lies and those things that you've struggled with, and it's going to blow it out of proportion, and it's going to make a mountain out of a molehill. But I do recall that there's a scripture verse found in Mark chapter 11. And it says, if we speak to a mountain and say it to be cast into the sea, well, guess what? It's out of our way. So it doesn't matter what you're facing, it has to go if you have faith in God. So if you're facing identity issues, you're feeling bad about yourself, if you're feeling sick in your body, if you've got ailments in your body, if things with God, between you and God, is just not right, well, I want to open up this altar right now for you. If you want to get back on track with God tonight, if you need healing in your body, you get up here. You get up here if you need healing. If you got identity stuff going on, if you feel bad, sad, depressed, or whatever it is, you get up here right now. Come on, if you're dealing with, struggling with some stuff, no one's looking around right now. Come on, just between you and God. I feel it right now. The Holy Spirit's talking to me. There's someone in this place, and you need to let go of some garbage in your life. Come on. We're not judging you. We're loving on you tonight. Come on. Don't miss this time to get set free and get delivered. Come on. Come on. Come on. You are created as God's masterpiece. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, come on. There's still someone else. There's still someone else. You need to be up here. Come on, church, just stretch your hands towards heaven right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you don't know how you feel. You're struggling with stuff on the inside. You feel sad. You feel depressed. You're dealing with that stuff right now. Come on, it's time to get rid of it. Time to get rid of it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Woo! Oh. The devil's a liar. Look at God's masterpieces, man. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just make some noise in this church right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yes. Come on. Let's just thank the Lord for who we are in Him. Come on. Let's make some noise in this place. Scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come on. Let's thank Him for what He's done in our lives. Now, those of you that are up here right now, you stretch your hands towards heaven, and you're going to start feeling the Holy Spirit start ministering to you. You're going to start feeling something coming over you. Amen? What you came up here for, it's being taken care of right now. Yes! Yeah, some of you in your seat, you're supposed to be up here. Right in your seat right now, you're starting to feel it flow in your body. There it is. There it is. There it is. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Praise you, Jesus. Never the same again. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. There you go. Receive it. There it is. Oh! 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 There you go. There you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your ministering power. Thank you, Jesus, for making things right, lining things up. Yes! Woo! Now thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Yes! Yes! He on the yes! In Jesus' name. Oh! Yep, yep. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you right now, Lord. Every molecule's got to line up. Everything's got to come into submission to your word, Lord. Yes! Healing power flow! Flow! Yes! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for my brother here now. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in his life. Yes. Lord, you're good. And so, Lord, whatever he's here for, Lord, you see it and you know it. And Lord, I thank you. It is done now in the name of Jesus. Yes. Let's just praise him right now, church. Come on. 30 more seconds. Come on. Lift our voices up towards heaven. Come on. Yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Well, the Lord is good. And His mercy endures. It's very good. Well, Pastor, you got anything?